Stay in the kitchen alone, work my fingers to the bone. You better eat if it kills you.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef, where we explore new recipes, answer your food questions, interview chefs, restaurateurs, farmers, food producers, cookbook authors, and local food event organizers. And I'm Janice Escott, a certified Cordon Bleu chef and instructor.
Good morning. I'm Kelly Taylor, and I'm a natural gourmet chef and instructor. Welcome, everyone. It's a lovely morning outside, even though it's cloudy. It's lovely.
Lovely anyway.
Yeah. It's fall, my favorite time of year. So I'm excited.
And this morning, we have with us Chef Amanda Cushman. She's a culinary instructor and author of a cookbook called Simple Real Food. Welcome, Amanda.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. It is a beautiful day.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Fall. I mean, I like fall.
I love it. It's the best time of year.
Yeah. It is.
Cool. It's nice.
It is. And the temperature is just perfect.
It is. I wish it was like this a little bit more.
Well, you came here in July.
I came here in the heat of the heat. I thought I was going to die, but now it's good.
Yeah.
And you came from?
I moved here from Connecticut, from the shoreline.
Okay.
And I lived there for about 2.5 years. And my husband and I both decided that the winters were too brutal. And we were looking for a fun, foodie university town.
Oh.
And this was on our radar. And we found it. And we're so excited to be here. It's great.
How did it get on your radar? I'm always curious.
It's so interesting. Everybody's been telling me about Durham. My chef friends. I lived in New York City for about 20 years. And I have a number of friends that I taught together with at the Institute of Culinary Education. And we're always looking at, where do you go when you leave New York? Where do you go? Everybody's trying to figure it out. It's so hard. It's hard to leave New York.
Yeah.
And this was on the radar a while ago as a Durham, specifically, mm-hmm. as the foodie town of the next bubble that's going to hit, right? And then I kind of forgot about it. And then we thought, let's try Connecticut. We were living in Los Angeles, and we're tired of the city and the hustle and the bustle and the traffic and everything else that LA has that isn't so wonderful, and thought, let's move to Connecticut. I'm from there, back to New England. And after 6 snowstorms last winter, we thought, I don't think so. Let's come down and check it out.
But we got a tiny snowstorm. Yeah. A snowstorm for us, you know.
I like snow. I just don't want like 7 in a row where you can't leave your house, right?
So we might have an inch.
An inch is good.
Well, but people don't leave their houses even in that.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, we had it halfway up the side of our garage for months on end.
Yes, I'm from Pennsylvania, so I know. I understand that kind of stuff. Well, your website. What is your website so that people can go there?
It's called AmandaCooks.com. And okay. On that website, I have recipes, I have a blog, I write restaurant reviews, I list all my cooking classes, I talk about different pieces of equipment that I like to use, I talk about food trends.
Lots of interesting things. Yes. And so your background, bio, tell us about you.
I started cooking as a young child with my mother, actually. She was a gourmet cook. I was really lucky. I had one of these very super mom type mothers who worked and made everything that we ate from scratch my entire childhood. Kind of unusual back then, including our own bread, and we weren't allowed to have any sugar, and we composted. We did everything that everybody's doing now, and that was the norm. And my father had a big vegetable garden, and she cooked these gourmet, beautiful meals. And we all in my family were interested in food. We all were food people. But I specifically kind of, I think it was easy for me to jump in there and help her. And then after that, I moved into the food world just by getting a job in a restaurant in college in Boston University. I went there, and it was easy to get a job in the kitchen then. You could just walk in the door because nobody wanted to do it, and I got hired, right? It wasn't like now. Yeah. And then it just kind of segued. I moved to New York City. I worked for a friend who had a big catering company, and I became her main person. Mm. And I cooked with her for years. And then I went to cooking school after about 5 years of working. Mm-hmm. I decided to go to cooking school.
And you learn a lot when you're working.
I thought I learned a lot more working than in cooking school.
Definitely.
I didn't think cooking school was really for me, even though I did it. Mm-hmm. And I went to two schools. I went to the Natural Gourmet, because I was very interested in macrobiotics, and I was a macrobiotic for years living in Boston. And then I realized I think I need to be more expansive if I want to work, because there wasn't much work in that world. Now it would be a lot better. And so I went to what they used to call Peter Kump's cooking school. Yes. It's now called the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I still don't know about the macrobiotic side. I mean, that's not why I went to the Natural Gourmet. I went because I was attracted to the different. They had a whole slew of modalities you could learn, and I really liked that it wasn't one person's opinion of how you should cook.
Absolutely,
because you know, frankly, there's a lot of ways to cook, and there's a lot of approaches to health.
Yes,
and so I was really interested in learning a variety of them, and then deciding what I wanted to do.
Such a great school.
That's what what appealed to me about that school for sure.
Yes,
but I could have used some more. I mean, you know, I think when you graduate from culinary school, you're always like, I could use some more instruction.
Yes.
You feel like you should know. I thought I should know more, although I think a lot of people graduate thinking they know everything.
Now they do.
When they don't know anything, but they think they do. But when I graduated, I was like, gosh, I still have a lot left to learn.
Yes.
Which just is the going and working bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think learning on the job is for me was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I really, everything fell in my lap. I really didn't try. It wasn't anything that I ever planned. I didn't want to be a chef. I didn't want to be really in the food business. It just kind of kept coming to me, and it was coming to me so easily that it just snowballed.
Why fight it, you know?
Why fight it? And it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's a great career.
Well, you got to have the right personality, I think, you know.
Yes.
Which helps because
definitely.
It's hard work, but it's a little weird in some kitchens, you know.
I'd say.
Do you have any great stories?
Oh, I had a lot of great stories. Restaurant work was not for me. I did it for 2 years. It was the worst thing I did in my food career, and I spent a lot of time crying and smoking cigarettes and eating a lot and feeling really unhappy.
That sounds like
painful.
A regular kitchen.
It was painful. I don't think I could. I definitely could never do it again. And luckily, I was able to segue right out of that into catering. And catering was my main career for 25 years.
Catering's hard work, too, though. I mean,
so
it's a different environment.
Yes.
But it's hard.
Yes. Hard, I don't mind. I just didn't like the restaurant. What do you call it? Community or
atmosphere.
The environment, atmosphere. It's too brutal. And back then it was very male oriented.
Still
is. I was always the only woman, and it was hard to be the only woman.
It still is.
Yeah, I was always being treated kind of crummy by the...
I got put by first restaurant job.
Right.
Speaking of all male, it was a very fine dining restaurant. It was all men.
Right.
There was only one other woman in there, and she was the pastry chef. So when I was hired, I got put into pastry. I didn't know a thing about pastry. I'm like, what? You just assume that I'm a woman. I'm going into the pastry.
That
so that's where I started. I was like, okay, I guess I'm
a
pastry
really
person.
Hard.
I know. I was like, I don't even know how to. I mean, have I made like pastry cream once in my life? You know, it was terrible. But, you know, that's sort of that thing. Well, you're a woman,
you're
you go
in.
Into the pastry
yes.
side.
Or the salads.
Yes. Yes. Well, I guess it could have been worse. I liked it. It was very fun. But it's still pretty
male-dominated. Yes.
Although we have a lot of really strong women
Thank
chefs
God.
Here.
We
I
do.
Love it.
Especially
yes.
in this area.
Absolutely. I
Wonderful
admire
women.
All of them, and I feel like I'm happy to be part of them.
Yeah.
And I joined a really wonderful group in New York. I don't know if you heard of it because it sounds like you lived in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
The New York Women's Culinary Alliance. That was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
I met so many amazing people and, of course, all women. And
yep.
Mm-hmm. Julia Child was a member. And we all, back then, she was just a person. She wasn't a celebrity. And it was just fun. You'd go to these meetings and we'd all be together and have these great, interesting educational meetings and have great dinners and drink good wine. And it was a great, great community.
Right. We've just started a new La Dame's d'Escoffier chapter here.
I heard.
So same principle.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's great.
You'll have to join.
I definitely will. I definitely will.
But it is nice the just having women
Especially
around.
Especially women. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because we all have our story in the food business. Yeah.
And I think it's helpful because it still pretty is a male-dominated
yes,
world. I went to an event over the weekend that was a big food event.
Terra Vita.
Yeah.
Yes, I
And
went
I love Terra Vita.
My it's great.
Colleen's great, who runs it. And but I was walking around the food tent, you know.
Everybody's
and it was,
a man.
And they were all men.
I couldn't
there
believe
were like
it
five women in there.
Absolutely.
And I thought, what? We got a lot of good women, you know.
I know.
But they were all men. I noticed that too when I walked around, and I thought,
And even all the chefs making all the food were
That's what I meant.
I was in shock.
I'm
shocked by that.
Yeah.
Next year, I'm going to be on one of those.
Yeah, that's what I was like. What's happening here? We got plenty of women. So I thought that same thing. But we did get written up in the New York Times not too long ago. Did you see the article that was all about the women chefs of the South?
Did.
And in particular, in this area. So we're making strides.
Oh, definitely.
We're making strides. But it's pretty cool.
I feel very fortunate to be here, to know these wonderful women who are doing such great things.
Yes.
And there are lots of them here. It's really nice.
It is.
It really is. But you've had some experiences in other parts of the United States, too.
I did. I lived in many places. I lived in Boston, and then I moved to New York. Then I moved to Miami, which was really fun because I moved there when South Beach was just getting going. And it was kind of exciting because it was just kind of a wild place. Not the way it is now.
It's still kind of wild.
It's wild, but it was wild and rough and kind of the way New York used to be.
Like Lower East Side.
Very funky. And Ocean Avenue hadn't really been built up yet, so there were just things popping up around, so it was fun to be part of the beginning of it. And I worked at the Raleigh Hotel there as a breakfast chef, which was horrible. I hated it, but I did it for a while. Get up at 5 in the morning and go to work in the dark and
But it's not hard to make. I mean, you can be kind of sleepy and make breakfast, you know.
Like, you can.
Because breakfast.
And it was a beautiful hotel to work in, a beautiful place on South Beach. And then I started that's when I started teaching in Miami, because I started finding some opportunities there at some local cooking schools. And I started to work at Sur La Table and in people's homes. That's when it began. And then I moved back to New York, and I worked at the Institute of Culinary Education there, teaching for about 15 years.
Oh, good long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I still teach there. Usually 3 times a year I go up there and teach.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a great school.
And you go back to Connecticut once in a while, too,
don't
you?
I'm going next week. I have a lot of students there that I developed over just this short period that
they won't let you go.
Chomping at the bit. Yeah. I sold out all these classes. I think I have 10 classes in a week.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be really
That's
busy.
Correct.
Yeah,
it'll be fun, though.
It is fun. Yeah.
So now you're teaching here.
I am.
Yes.
I just started at Southern Season, Durham Spirits. I'm also starting at Duke Fitness. I'm doing some classes there at their fitness, their weight loss center. And I also just started UNC Wellness.
The one that's where? Which one?
The one in Cary.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because they have a couple of them.
Yes, they have Chapel Hill, they have Cary, and they do a lot of, I try to focus on the healthier, lighter cuisine. That's that's my thing. Like ethnic food, but very healthy. Mediterranean.
Well, that's naturally healthy.
I
mean, I think
yeah,
you're going to find the southern food to be a lot heavier.
Yes.
You know, it's generally heavier, I think. But the other tradition, the other cultures, you know, I'm Italian as well. And so it's pretty naturally light.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though you can eat a lot.
Yes,
And there is, if the north part, you know, there's a lot of heavier foods. But the southern part is definitely lighter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love that food.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
They got it going on. They've been doing it for hundreds of years and thousands of years.
They know how.
They know how to do it.
They know how.
But I think here, you know, there's a lot of
there's more
sort of a new cuisine about the southern food, in that we try to use the ingredients that are local. We have a lot of local, you know, pride in the food that is grown here and made here, with, you know, attention paid to what the past has been and still offering that, but then making some new twists on
it. Bringing it up to the modern day palate a little bit more.
I mean, you'll find a lot of traditional southern
I've seen that.
Food places, but you have a lot of new kind of things happening as well, especially in Durham does have a little bit more of
ethnic.
Yeah, and a little bit more restaurants that are newer with a little bit different bent.
Yes.
But it's interesting. It's an interesting time to be here.
It is.
Because the food is changing, the people are changing.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here at the, almost not the beginning, but in when it's more started than already done.
And you're listening to Community Radio, WCOM 103.5 FM. Carrboro. And our guest today is Amanda Cushman, and she's a culinary instructor and an author of Simple Real Food. Tell us about your cookbook, Simple Real Food. I love the name of
your cookbook. You know, it was so hard to come up with the name. That was the most painful part. And my husband and I did the book together. He did the photography, and I self-published, so it was a lot of fun. It was a big project. I came up with the book because all my students kept asking me, how come you don't have a cookbook? We want a cookbook. So I said, oh, I don't want
Give
to do it.
Give the people what they want, Amanda.
I finally did it. And it's been fun because it's some of my favorite recipes. Mm-hmm. I focus on the kind of food I like to make, which is healthy, relatively simple, keeping it local, organic, ethnic, I really like. The mm-hmm. more ethnic, the better. So mm-hmm. that's basically what it is, a compilation of those recipes.
Mm-hmm. I saw on your website that you talked about Asian a lot.
I do.
How does that influence what you do?
I love the bright, kind of, I don't know, rich, not rich, but the spiciness and all the combination of salty and sweet. I love that Asian. So my favorite food is Vietnamese food, really. Mm-hmm. And then I say Japanese and Thai are in mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Korean. Mm-hmm. I like it all, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
I also just learned how to make it because it's so easy. I think it's relatively easy. It's a lot of prep and then very quick cooking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of cooking where it's not, you know, an all-day thing.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of seasonal things,
lots,
too.
Lots.
And that's what it's all about, isn't
it?
Asian is all about seasonal.
Well, I think all food should be.
It should be.
Yeah, and hopefully that's where we're all headed in that direction mm-hmm. more and more.
And we are sometimes kind of spoiled because we walk into the supermarket and you get almost anything
right.
shipped up here from someplace in South America.
Right,
but
it
really is nice to be able to find those local things that are growing right now.
Absolutely.
So how do you incorporate those things into your Asian cooking?
I generally stay within the realm of finding local food. I don't like to have things that are shipped from Chile and Mexico. I try to avoid that. So I really keep the menus open. When I'm teaching a class, I don't always say, oh, this is what we're going to make, because what if I can't find that thing?
Mm-hmm. That's such a good idea.
I go to the Asian markets a lot. I love the Asian markets and see what they have, and also go to the farmer's market. That's really where you want to shop here, I think, if you can, because it's just they have so many great farmers that can grow.
Quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a long growing season here.
Mm-hmm. Very diverse.
It's very diverse. Mm-hmm. It's fun to work with all the chilies. I mean, I've really gotten into, I like hot, spicy food. And people grow great chilies here.
Yeah, chilies are one of the easier crops
they
to grow
are.
Here.
They grow like a weed.
Yep. I have a ton of them in my garden right now, trying to figure out what to do with all, I have like a ton. I mean, I've already roasted a whole bunch of the poblanos and just put them in my freezer. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of these? I have like, I have a ton of poblanos and all kinds of peppers.
Oh,
got
fun.
Any ideas for what to do with all my extra pepper? I also have a lot of pepperoncinis, which I love.
Yum.
I could just eat those anyway, fresh, but I can't eat all of them.
No. Freeze them, put them in oil, make vinegars, mm-hmm. olive oils, give them as presents.
Yeah.
Teach a cooking class.
I know. I was just thinking, what can I do with all these peppers? Come, we'll do all these things with peppers, pickled peppers and all these. You know. Uh-huh. I like the twist on the spicy and the sweet and the acidic. And I like all of it in one little package, which is what I like about Asian food.
Yes,
they do
absolutely.
A really good job of balancing all
they
the flavors.
They so do, yes.
Where some, especially in American food, you know, traditional American food, we have them sort of all separated, maybe.
We do.
But I really like them all mashed together.
Yes, the yin and yang.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It is nice.
You leave feeling very satisfied.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. But the condiment side, sometimes you need to get like the dark soy sauces and those kind of interesting things.
Yes.
What do you do about those condiments in your cooking? Because they're sort of things that are real specialties.
They are.
For
like ketchup manis.
That come
I
from.
I use that a lot. Which is a great soy sauce, very sweet and very salty, but very thick.
What is this called?
Ketchup manis.
I don't know.
It's an Indonesian soy sauce. It's very thick, almost like a molasses.
Mm.
I use a lot for sauces.
Is it gluten-free or is it one that's been fermented on?
I don't think it's gluten-free. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. It's mostly sugar.
Mm.
So, it's very sweet, but also kind of salty too.
Mm-hmm.
And the texture is great.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Typical Asian sauce texture, very thick.
Mm-hmm.
So it glazes really well.
Oh, that's nice.
Good for glazing things.
I've discovered the mushroom soy sauces, and
isn't that lovely?
Oh, they're lovely.
They're so subtle.
And there are different
flavors
from different brands.
Right.
And that was surprising to me, because I thought, oh, well, mushroom soy sauce is mushroom soy sauce, but it isn't.
No.
They use, obviously, different kinds of mushrooms, and then the flavor changes drastically from one to another.
Right.
And then putting it into whatever you're making. I mean, especially wonderful with something that's mushroom-based.
Right.
But you can put that flavor into something else.
So cool
and
to
it,
see
it
that.
It is.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
It's so creative.
Yeah, I like the mushroom bases for vegetarian things.
Yes.
Because, you know, vegetarian food is delicious, but often misses that savory
Absolutely.
Quality.
And yes. mushroom does that.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
I love
it. And so does soy sauce.
That
I mean, you know, in both of those
yes.
things. So together are.
Tamari, so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the wonderful, you know, black soy sauce, Chinese soy sauce. There's a million different kinds.
We should have a soy sauce and taste test.
That's a great
tasting.
Idea.
Because that would be fun.
That would be fun.
We'll plan it.
Yes. Okay.
That's a great
that
idea.
That would be fun. And then how to use them. Because, you know,
right.
if you go into an Asian grocery store,
it's
overwhelming. Confusing
it
as
is.
All get out.
Mm-hmm.
There,
mm-hmm.
First, it's not always in English, so we don't really know
Mostly
what you're
it's not,
getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're kind of confused off the bat.
Right.
Right. But then within it, there's so many choices that we never, ever see.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But that there are a lot of really interesting things to try, but, you know, you don't want to try a whole bunch. I mean, what are you going to do with this giant
right.
bottle of, you know, mushroom soy sauce? I
right.
don't, you know, people would be like, what do I do with it? Because there's no recipes for mushroom soy sauce.
You have to play around.
Sauce,
that's so. Where that's cooking is so creative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I love about cooking is there is no real formula. You just have fun with it. You know, that's what I try to teach people. It's not a formula. Recipe is just a guideline.
It's
something
just a
you should
guide.
Just do your own
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just experiment, right?
So we have to get people back into the kitchen
yes.
so that they feel more comfortable doing
yes.
that. Because there's so many people that we've come across who've said, yes, but I don't even really know where to begin. Well,
right. That's where classes come in.
Exactly.
They really work.
That's what we're around here for.
Absolutely. It really works.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people transform their entire life just from taking classes and really learning how to cook and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they really love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it many times. It's fantastic.
So what do you think is, what are the keys you think for taking someone who doesn't really, you know, I get a lot of people who say they just hate cooking. And,
well, I think
and
you
then
have to start with skills.
So.
You really do. I think I teach a class, a basic skills class. It's such a great class because you get confidence building. And it's not about recipes. It's really about the skills. And then from there, you can do whatever recipe you want. But you got to start with the knife skills because people are afraid of the knife,
mm-hmm.
so especially women. I hate to say that, but I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of a sharp, large knife. So if you teach somebody how to use it, then it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there. You know, you start with all your skills.
Like your
sauté, roasting, grilling, braising, mm-hmm. making a simple sauce, simple vinaigrette, simple dessert. And once they see how not threatening it is, then people want to do it, and they really get excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible to watch people transform.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of students last year that it was an ex-cop and his wife, and she brought him along. I did this class; it was like a couples class, and she brought him along because we're going out on a date. He didn't want to be there.
He didn't want to go,
but he got so into it that they signed up for a whole series of mine. This whole technique series, and he became the chef, posting all these things on Facebook that he made like every day. We made this from your class, that from your class,
oh,
this from your class. Setting up little things with candles and flowers, and here's the plate, we made this, and our friends came over, we made that. I was just blown away. I mean, he literally just completely turned around.
How funny.
It was fun to watch.
You never know who out of the class. That's the fun part about teaching that I often find is some of the people who are the most stubborn.
Yes.
And just like your biggest, you know, fighter in the
yes.
you know, in the class turns out to be you sort of now your advocate
right.
and has become some foodie, you know, really. So it's really funny to see.
Yes,
and then the people who you think will be really into it just sort of don't.
Right.
And so you know, it's not always easy to gauge.
No.
I guess that's that whole thing that you shouldn't make assumptions about people from the beginning because they will always prove you wrong.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Some in a good way, some not such in a good way.
So that's what's so much fun about teaching.
Yes.
Are the variety of people and the kinds of things that they end up doing. And it's really fun to see the aha. It's sort of a realization. Sometimes it takes a while and sometimes it's almost instant.
Absolutely.
It's so much fun to watch.
It is.
And that's why we really do encourage people to take classes.
Yes.
And learn how to do the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that around here.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited about it. I think it's going to be fantastic because it's needed.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a cooking school on Rosemary Street.
Mm-hmm.
More will be revealed.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll all three of us here sitting in the studio are going to be teaching in that cooking school.
I'm excited.
So, and we're very excited about what's happening with that. And it won't be too long from now.
It'll probably
be sometime in December or January when we will be open for business. So keep listening and we'll tell you all about what we're going to be doing. So you lived a little bit or you taught some in California.
I did. We moved to L.A.
So no wonder you like peppers.
I know, the Asian, because L.A. is such a great Asian community. And also The Latin. It's great. The food is great. When we first moved there, it actually hadn't quite taken off yet. But then as we were there for 10 years, it really exploded, the food scene. When we first got there, it was like, it's so funny how the San Francisco LA competition thing and everybody looks down on LA because it's all about nothing and it's so superficial, but not anymore. And it really came into its own while we were living there. And we watched the whole food thing explode. It was a lot of fun because of the ethnic groups heavily represented as the Asian, of course, because of where it is, the Latins, but also the Indian culture, which is one of my favorite cuisines. So I really, really concentrated on teaching when I was there. I taught. That's all I did was teach, and that's why I wrote my cookbook. And I taught a lot of small schools, but mostly private people's homes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people relax more when they're in their home then, or do you think they like learning in a group?
I did groups in people's homes.
Mm, okay.
It depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of people who came to my public classes, and they said, can you come to my house? I'd much rather be in my own. And I said, sure. You know, so there's both.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to get out. It's a social thing. It's a great way to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, they want to be in their home with their own stuff, their own kitchen, their own comfort, and it's everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I did a group of women. I taught for about 2 years. Once a month, they'd have a class in one of their homes, and every month it would be in a different one of their homes.
Fun.
Mm. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the celebrity world, so it was really fun to see these amazing homes.
Yeah, I bet so.
And the kitchens.
The kitchens, the homes themselves were magnificent, yeah.
Well, that's a nice treat.
That was a nice treat.
They probably have all the gadgets.
Oh, more than all the gadgets.
You know, so that's fun when you, because you know, sometimes you go into someone's home to help, but they have nothing, you know, and you're like.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Yes, I've had that experience.
You know,
well,
absolutely nothing. I've been in kitchens where I think, oh, okay, let me just get real creative here. We'll figure this out.
Let's talk ahead of time
pan.
And see if I need to bring
like
my
a steak
processor.
Knife, you know, it's very interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
I bring all my knives, so I'm always good in that area.
Yeah, but then, you know, it's just, you never know what you're getting.
Absolutely.
So then you got to cart everything around.
I don't do that. You know what I do? I make it work. I like the challenge of it. Mm. I like going to someone's house and just winging it because I find it's kind of fun for me.
Even if they don't have a food processor.
Yep.
Well, you don't really need that. I mean, but... A good knife is essential.
I always bring the knife. It's the one thing I won't wing on. But other than that, I will. I'll wing it on everything. I had a client recently in Connecticut. He and his wife did a class in their home for their parents for their birthday. They wanted to do a little cooking class,
so
which
nice.
Was really fun. And I got there and realized they had just gotten married and they didn't have anything yet. You know, there's their first kitchen, an apartment, not even a house. So small. Like the size of this desk, and they had nothing. They had like the stuff they got for their wedding present, but there was very little equipment. And the parents immediately decided they weren't interested in one iota in cooking. So they sat down and had drinks. And it was me and the couple. Uh-huh. And we had to really make do. I mean, I had three pans at the most. And I made this 5-course meal with them. And I had to keep, okay, we have to transfer that to a bowl and wash that out. We got to use that pan again. And it was just very funny to wing it. Everything came out fine.
What did you make? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't. I know we made a fillet of beef as an entree with a mushroom, like a red wine mushroom sauce. And I know we made a chocolate, flourless chocolate cake for dessert, but I don't remember the other things. I remember it being a pain, though.
But that sounds like a good menu anyway.
Yes.
Anyway.
They loved it.
Okay. So we're going to have a break for a few minutes, and we'll be back, and we'll talk more about wonderful food and cooking and all this.
How to encourage people.
Yes.
We should really talk about, you know, how do we encourage people to get back in the kitchen?
Yes.
And to, for something that we all love so much.
I know.
So many people might not. So let's talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Hi, this is Dudley Cunnell, the seldom seen. And when I'm in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, I listen to community radio, WCOM 103.5. Thank you for all your support.
Precious moments are left. Steal this love from my lips before the clock chimes and we have to give it back again. Curse all this space in between your heart, the places I will be, and these restless feet, though they've brought about the best in me.
Science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP FM.
And we're back. Excuse me. Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. We're broadcasting live from WCOM in Carrboro. I'm Kelly Taylor. My co-host is Janice Escott. And before we get continued on with our conversation, I want to thank our sponsor, Weaver Street Market, which is a community-owned natural foods marketplace. Stores in Carrboro, Southern Village, which is in Chapel Hill, and Hillsboro. And we have a couple announcements. We have a public service announcement for Table, which is a wonderful grassroots nonprofit that helps fight childhood hunger in our area, which remarkably is higher than you would think. I'm always surprised by that, but it is. And they're having an event on October 18th. It's a third annual Empty Bowls dinner. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can certainly go to their website, tablenc.org. I think that'll be at Provence, which is in Carrboro on Weaver Street. So it's a nice meal that's made there by local chefs. We also have our fundraiser coming up. And it is, again, at the Hickory Tavern, which is right next to us. And it's in the Hampton Inn on 370 East Main Street. It'll be November 5th. Most of the hosts come, and we just have a party.
It's a party.
We just sit there and eat and drink.
Everybody's welcome.
Yes, so we hope that you'll all come out, and we have raffle prizes, and it's a fun time. So
it is fun.
That's November 5th, 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. 5 to 10.
Not too long
from now. No, and 10% of all of the food sales from the receipts there then go to WCOM, which is a nonprofit. So we hope that you come out and support us as well. So we're back, though. We're talking with Chef Amanda Cushman, who, like us, is an instructor. And it's a fun world. It's really fun. We were talking about sort of having such an effect on people and getting to see them change their confidence, really, in the kitchen, which then changes so many other things in their life. So it's been really interesting for me watching people do that. What do you think is the thing that gives you the most satisfaction as an instructor?
I'd say just seeing how the fear fades away when somebody actually starts cooking and realizes there's nothing to be afraid of. Oh, this is so easy. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's how you chop an onion. Wow, I didn't realize it was so simple. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they're afraid mm-hmm. of maybe even just the stove, the hot pan, and I, you know, just showing them a few things on how to not burn yourself, or, you know, how to use the right pan that you're going to use for the right food so it's not splattering all over, or just such small things that suddenly that fear going away, and then the calm, oh, wow, this is really fun. I love watching that.
It is mm-hmm. interesting because, you know, I have to catch myself a lot in saying, when somebody wants to know how to do something, mm-hmm. I think, oh, it's easy, you know. And then I think it's not easy to right. a lot of people. It's easy because I know how to do all these
sure.
things. And I don't have to know how to do, I don't have to learn those right. things on top of trying to figure something else
right.
out. So it is an interesting, I have to catch myself
yes.
a lot not to say that
right.
because it's kind of rude.
I mean, right.
after I
well,
said it, I'm like,
for granted
oh, it's
that,
so rude yeah. that I just said that, because it isn't yeah. necessarily.
Well,
easy.
We take for granted that people so. Hang out in the kitchen like we do.
Right.
And, you know, they just don't.
Right.
And
I don't know why.
And, right? Because it is so much fun. But you say that to people and they just go blank.
Right.
And it's like, come on, come with me.
Right.
Come with me into the kitchen and we'll have some fun.
Right.
And that, I think, is the beginning
right.
when people are finally saying, like you were saying, is discovering how easy and simple it really is.
Right.
And you were mentioning about sharp knives. We know that it's how important it is to have a very sharp knife. Because,
right.
first of all, it's safer.
Absolutely.
Because it'll cut
instead of
slipping, and it will cut the whatever you're cutting instead of you.
Right.
Although it might cut you.
You might.
Yeah.
But it's a very clean cut.
But it's much safer when it's
yes.
when it's much sharper. But I noticed on your website that you had some information about how to buy A chef's knife.
Yes.
So tell
us. I do recommend people, really, it's about comfort. They need to feel it. They need to hold it. They need to try the motion of chopping. And they will. You can do that in the store. I mean, if you go to a really good store, kitchenware store, you can do all those things. And if there's somebody, should be somebody helping you, they're going to help you. And you should, I think, buy a knife that's the right size for you. I really like large knives, but I'm a big person, and I like to cut a lot of volume. A lot of people are very frightened by those, so I think you get a smaller knife. There's no point in buying a big knife and being scared of it. I think you should start with like an 8-inch chef's knife.
But that is big to some people.
To me,
people.
That's big. So if 8 inches is too big, 6 is fine, although it's not as much fun. But you could start with that then, and you move your way up to the 8-inch, and then that's all you really need. I mean, I like 12-inch knives, but I'm
not
normal.
Oh, you like the
12-inch.
I do. No, I don't like
but
them.
But I like knives in general. I think they're a lot of fun. I love the beauty of a well-made knife. That's like, I have a lot of Japanese knives that I absolutely love.
But a chef's knife is the tool.
It is the tool.
For the kitchen.
Absolutely.
And learning how to use it and holding it in your hand
Absolutely.
So that you can use it efficiently.
With confidence.
With confidence. Yes. Instead of just holding on to the handle,
right.
You move your hand up to the
right.
blade so that your thumb is on one side and
Absolutely.
Your fingers on the other side. And you have control then over the knife.
Absolutely.
So that's a wonderful way to help people understand, because it's a big knife.
It's a big knife.
And it can be a little bit off-putting.
It's daunting. Yes,
it is daunting. And chopping up a carrot or an onion
right.
so that it's done efficiently and
right.
quickly.
And also that all the pieces are the same size.
And all the pieces are the same size.
Uniformity.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I think
exactly.
knife skills, everybody should start with that. I really
and it's
do.
Much more important to have the uniformity than it is to have speed.
Absolutely.
And when I was teaching knife skills at the Art Institute, everybody wanted to
go fast, like on TV.
Yes,
I know. And I always tell them, you don't need to go fast.
No, it is not necessary at all.
Absolutely.
The most important part about it is to do it efficiently.
And correctly.
And correctly. And then as you practice,
right.
then you'll get speedier. But it isn't essential.
Absolutely.
So it's knives are a really interesting part of cooking.
They are. And
so,
and pan, every, all of it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a good cutting board. I've been to plenty of homes
yes.
where the cutting boards are those awful clear plastic acrylic ones that make that horrible sound when the knife hits the board, and they're so bad
ruins
for your
knife.
They
yes,
ruin your knife.
It ruins your knife.
So that you have to have the good cutting board, the good knife, and then to me, the cast iron pan is my favorite.
Oh,
pan,
I
so.
Saw that on. And,
I'm a big fan.
So. I am too. So talk about that, because you said on the website that it was the original
non-stick
pan.
Yeah, I think of it that way. Yes.
I do too.
Yes.
I do too. And why is that so?
Because the weight and the heaviness of the pan, the well balanced, the heat is so well balanced, and the surface is because it's been seasoned. Everything just slips right out, and if you have the pan hot enough, you get the food in there, and you don't turn it too quickly, and you just leave it like and get it chance for it to. Sear or whatever it's doing, everything just slides out. You don't really even need to clean it, really. There's no scrubbing. So the whole surface is nice and smooth.
Mm-hmm. But and how do you build up that surface?
I think it's important that you season it. Nowadays, you buy them pre-seasoned, but I still think you need to season it even when they come pre-seasoned. I have the old ones that didn't come pre-seasoned.
Mine
they came from my grandmother and my, 50 years
They're
old.
They're forever.
70 years old, forever. So what I do, I had a student who had one in her house and it was all rusted and she was throwing it out. And I said, I can help you save this. She said, no, I don't want it. I said, oh, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I said, I'll love it.
To me.
I couldn't believe she was throwing it away. I think she had two of them, actually. So I went home and I scrubbed the whole surface with kosher salt and like Brillo. Not Brillo, just steel pad. And I took all that out and then I put a
down to the metal.
Down to the metal. And then
metal.
I put that thin layer of oil. Flavorless oil, and I put it in the oven. I think it was overnight at 200. Just kind of bake that in.
Right into the metal.
Yeah, and then start just wiping it out with a paper towel and not letting that build up. Every time I cook, I just let that build up.
And wipe it with paper towel.
Yes.
And the thing that is
no water,
really important,
no water.
Right, and also not especially do not put any soap in that hand.
Right.
And people said, well, but I have to clean it. No, you don't.
Everything just slides right out. Right.
It's so much, the pan is so much better if you just, I mean, you can rinse it with a little water if you have things sticking to it or something like that. But never, never, after it's seasoned, don't use any of that, the rough scrapers or anything like that, because you just take off that and then you have to re-season it all over again.
Yeah. I always put a little bit on, though, after I'm done.
You like, can do that.
I mean, because I rinse it out. And then I'll dry it on the stove, turn on the flame, and dry it on the stove. And then I usually will put a little film of oil or fat, whatever.
Yeah, I do too.
Whatever you start with, you stick with, you know.
Right, right.
And
well,
I do that.
It's great for bacon fat.
Yeah,
it's
I do use
a little can of bacon fat.
Yeah.
And
you just rub it on and then you're done. Yep.
It should look kind of like slightly moist.
Yeah. A little bit shiny.
Yeah, a bit shiny.
Yes, I have three wonderful iron pans that I really love. And not long ago, I have some wonderful, lovely roommates, and somebody washed one of them. And I was like, no. I thought for sure that they
knew.
And we take for granted, don't we?
Yes.
And unless we say
that
it's really hard. So I had to go back again and start from the beginning.
Yes.
But it's coming back. It takes a while, actually.
Does take a while.
It takes a while to get it back to that non-stick surface.
Absolutely.
But I love the idea that they're black.
Yes.
Because they hold the heat.
Yes.
And the iron will distribute the heat evenly in the pan. So it's wonderful for doing things where you are browning like chicken or making pancakes or something like that where you want that even, that absolutely even cooking. And there's, I don't know of anything else that does it as well.
I use it for everything. I use it for eggs, everything. I don't really have, I have my other pans. I hardly ever even use them.
I really like ceramic pans.
Yeah, I do too.
So I use my ceramic pan.
You mean Le Creuset?
It's not that brand.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I like the ceramic ones.
Those are kind of my new favorite thing and have been for a couple years.
Yeah.
More than the cast iron lately, just because it doesn't require as much upkeep. Like,
right.
I don't have to worry about anybody washing. You know, I mean, I live in a house with my family, and it's just, it's easy. I know no one's going to ruin it. They're also equally, I mean, I feel like they're pretty nonstick.
They are.
And
great pan.
You know, they don't scrape off, which is the problem with nonstick pans. There's no scraping.
Nonstick pans are awful.
So, you know, it's
can't
a pretty good deal.
Yes.
If you, and they're not as heavy. And my wrists are kind of cooked these days. From
so good for your arms.
Well, that's true.
Muscles.
But I have to say, my wrists are not what they used to be. And I have to, like, hold everything with two hands now. And so it's kind of nice to have a lighter pan and a lighter pot for myself. So those are my new favorite.
And you're listening to Community Radio, WCOM 103.5 FM in Carrboro. And our guest today on Yes to the Chef is Amanda Cushman, culinary instructor. That's very obvious by our conversation today, telling people all of the things about cooking and things like that. I was particularly smitten by your website. That's why I asked you in the very beginning about the website. And let's say that again so that people will know.
It's AmandaCooks.com.
AmandaCooks.com. And I love the recipes, and the blogs were so much fun to read. And there were so many things. It's just like having a little food adventure. But I have to admit that one of my favorite things on your website was kids reading to cats.
It's great.
I loved that.
I didn't see this.
It was not about food at all.
No.
But it was about two of my favorite things, kids and cats.
Yes.
What a fun thing. Where did you ever find that? That was the
My
sweetest.
Mother was a children's book illustrator.
Oh.
And she had a love affair with cats like we all do in my family.
Uh-huh.
I've always had cats since I was a little kid. My mother had cats in every single one of her children's books. So there's that connection was there.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it, though? I really want to encourage everyone to look at, find that on your website. Because I went through all the stuff.
Oh, you did.
And then there it was. And I was like, how delightful is that? And it's actually kids, and it's photographs or pictures of kids reading to cats.
So sweet.
It is. It's the sweetest, sweetest thing. I was really just like blown away because I had never seen that before, and it was adorable. So anyway, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. So, and also the other thing that I saw on your website was I realized, like so many of us, that you are probably a bookaholic.
I am.
I could tell. So what is it about your fascination with books? Your mom, for
my
one
mom,
thing.
My mom, I grew up in a literary family, definitely. And we didn't watch TV as a kid because we weren't allowed to. It was such a different time. Mm-hmm. And we actually had 1 hour a week or something. So we were all reading. And we had a lot of cultural, music, art, food, and books were part of that. So it was just my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was saying to somebody the other day that I think I spent most of my childhood in the library.
Yes. I love the library.
Oh.
We have a great library in Chapel Hill.
Oh, we have a fabulous library here.
I love that library.
It's a good library.
It's stunning.
It is.
When I first saw it, I had to take pictures and send it to my friends in Connecticut. This is what a library should look like. Oh, my. Wow. It's amazing.
I know. And it's so much fun to spend the day here. Mm-hmm. In fact, Kelly and I have often met there in the library, and we actually many, many times have reserved one of the rooms.
Oh, we work out of the
room. And we work out of the room because
that's
we
great.
Chat. And
yes.
it's
and
really
quiet.
Wonderful
yes.
to be able to talk and not be worried about somebody
coming in, yes.
hearing us.
It's a great
something.
Office if you're...
It's a fabulous office.
They have wonderful views.
And it's
the
so
window.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing about that library is that you can rent electronic equipment. And that was really fun for us, too. We were able to do that. And it's something that, you know, with your library card, you can actually go in and rent
fabulous.
A camera or
fabulous
microphones
resource.
Or whatever
yes.
it is that you need. What a great service
absolutely.
To the community.
Absolutely.
I mean, we really are library fans, and it's just yes. been such a wonderful thing to have that so close by and to be able to have that variety there. It truly is wonderful. So I'm also curious about... you're teaching in New York. Is it different from teaching other places? You said that you were teaching at Peter.
Yes, that's the best
school.
Cooking school in the country, in my opinion.
Okay, I want to hear about it because
I've
heard about Peter. I mean, now it's changed
now
name.
It's changed
called
ice.
When I
yeah,
heard about it, ice, I heard about it. You know,
I
Peter
went
Kump's.
To Peter Kump's when it was a little brownstone on the Upper East Side with stairs, no elevator, and it was kind of a lethal little dangerous building, three stories. You'd have to go up these vertical stairs, and we always thought, oh no, somebody's going to fall and have a lawsuit. Never happened, but Peter Kump was teaching there then. Mm-hmm. And then I started teaching there a few years after that, and it's now become this huge cooking school called ICE. And now they've just moved down to Lower Manhattan. They bought a building down near Wall Street, and they have a complete, incredible 6,000-square-foot
Wow.
The place is phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, everybody who goes to New York should go there and take a class because I've actually never taught somewhere that was as much fun as it is to teach there.
Why is it so much fun?
The way they've set up the kitchen is the way it needs to be. It's very professional. Each kitchen, there's a lot of kitchens. There's a whole pastry floor. Oh. There's a whole floor just for stewarding where they have they do all their own protein. Fabricating.
They break down all the animals. Oh,
I mean, they go
nice.
Right to the source. They get the whole fish. And
nice.
Wow.
So they have all these different areas for the fish, the protein, the vegetables, all the dry goods, and then they have a whole floor just for wine. So it's quite extensive.
But wow, that is.
It's an extensive school.
Wow.
But the kitchens are so much fun because they're set up so that it's so much fun for the instructor. You don't have to struggle. They have each person... each kitchen has three stations, and each station's for five people.
Mm-hmm.
And each station has its own refrigerator, small, low boy, and a six-burner stove, and a counter to work on with underneath shelving with all the pots and pans you need. So you have nobody's ever running around trying to find stuff, and you have all the things you need right there.
That's nice.
Oh, so you have yes. lots of space, and you don't feel like, oh, I can't get to the stove right now because someone else is there. You all have your own little area. So to teach, I would just go from one station to another and instruct these five people and then these five people and these five people. And
that's much
it's
easier.
It's so much fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was all participation.
Oh, yeah.
All hands-on.
Actually, they do have some demo classes. I think I taught maybe one or two, but most all my classes were hands-on.
Mm-hmm. I want to go.
Oh, you have to go.
That's really
next
great.
Next time you're in New York, you should go.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
So and the equipment is state of the art, so it's a lot of fun to cook with.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
How long have they been there in the new area?
They just moved to the new space in this summer.
Oh,
so it's brand new. Brand new. And the other school, they were there. I was the first teacher to teach the first class when they had just finished construction on the school on 23rd Street. And the day I taught, they hadn't really finished yet, but they kind of wanted to get the classes going because I think, like most places, it was long overdue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There was no air conditioning, and it was in the summer.
Oh.
And there was no gas yet, so we had these portable butane burner, mm-hmm. you know, little
yes,
burners.
We've used those.
And no running water, and I taught that class. And I asked them, you have to give me extra income for this because it was painful. But
where did you wash stuff?
We had, they brought water in. Oh, it was horrendous. They shouldn't have opened it, but they were pushing it. So they brought water in and they had these buckets. It wasn't what you do, but.
Well, it's good practice for
yes.
life, real
yes.
life,
that's
because
right.
you go places and you're like, all right, we've got nothing.
Absolutely.
Let's, it's like teaching
yes,
camping.
Yes, let's right. make food for 100 people
that's
out
right.
of this, you know, hovel
yes.
of nothing.
In a field with a hose.
So do you remember what you taught?
This was the beginning of a 5-week techniques class. It was the first class was knife skills, so we basically chopped the whole time. And then all the 5 classes, we never had the gas hadn't been turned on yet. So for the whole 5 classes, I had to do those little burners.
But you got water, hopefully.
We got water.
Yeah, I could do without the gas, but
yes,
the water was, I am just.
Oh, painful.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No. It's really not right. You need water.
You do.
That's but like go a, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've taught in all kinds of different
sure.
places.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'm always like, you have to have water.
Absolutely.
Like, I can deal with everything else. But water,
yes.
I'm not. That's like a no.
No
deal.
You have to be cleaning and washing all the time. Yes.
Yeah, water. Yeah. That's
We've
terrible.
We've taken our own burners and our own pots and pans.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
of
food
course.
Processors,
yes.
whatever we needed for the class.
Yes.
And we've schlepped those in boxes.
And
schlepping is part of the deal.
We're professional schleppers.
That should be
we
our.
We are professional
we
schleppers.
We are.
That's absolutely true. Amanda, thank you so much. This has been delightful.
Thank
it
you.
Really has.
Great to be here.
It's just really been fun. So if you or someone you know has a food message appropriate to this show, please contact us at our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. We would love to hear from you. And please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to all the previous podcasts of the program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. And we are Kelly Taylor, Natural Chef and Instructor, and Janice Escott, Cordon Bleu Chef and Instructor. And we thank you very much for being here, Amanda. And we thank Weaver Street Bark at Southern Village, Carrboro, and Hillsborough for their support. Please join us every Tuesday, WCOM at 11 a.m. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking.
And happy cooking.
Happy cooking,
Amanda.
Thank you.